Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries, and for those who are listening on Blog Talk. Kathy would say this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it because we've all been through some stuff, but we're not going through what some other folks are going through today. So we come into his presence with joy, with gladness, with thanksgiving, with singing. Because no matter what happens, he's still God, amen? So he's still good, amen? Because all the time, God is what?
Good.
He can't be nothing else but good. That's who he is. It's not who we are, it's who he is. So as we come together, be mindful of the note. I don't have to bring it up. It's up here. We have our technological problems fixed this week. So we are ready to move forward, amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this gathering of your people. We're just here asking you to inhabit our praises, asking you to breathe on us fresh, new, living word, water, all the things that we need right now, Lord, where our hearts, let us not be mindful. Let us be mindful of the fact that you are in New York and in Boston and Rhode Island and on that Upper East Coast as they deal with Hurricane Henry, Father. We pray for those who are trapped in Afghanistan, that you will deliver them out, Father, and that you will continue to be God for your people who are there and will remain there to do your work and your will, Lord. We continue to pray for Haiti, Lord, and lift them up to you, Lord. We're just here to lift up the name of Jesus today. We're grateful to be allowed to be in your presence, to be your people, and we are here to worship in him only, and in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand your feet.
Welcome into this place. Morning. Today's responsive reading is Psalm 27 from the New Living Translation. The Lord is my life and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident.
The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek the most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock.
Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifice with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me.
My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me, and my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my help. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close.
Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence.
Today, I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living.
Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous.
Yes,
wait patiently for the Lord.
And what are we waiting for? What are we trusting in him for? To see him to do what he's done before. He'll do it again. It's different.
I see darkness shattered by light. I see joy and praise after the night. I want to see it again. I see tragedy and hopeless days turn to stories of amazing grace. I want to see it again. Oh,
Government and see what those people are saying and doing? Or does it get you through thinking about your job and, well, it provides a living for my family? Or does it even more crazy get you through thinking that, well, if I just get to church, to the house of the Lord, I feel better? What don't get you through Monday and Tuesday night and Wednesday afternoon? Only remembering what God has done gets you through. Only remembering your relationship with him. Because you're not just his child. He said, you're my friend. And if you're his friend, not that janky friendship you got, but I'm talking about that one who sticks closer than a brother. I'm talking about that one who's your friend when you don't act friendly. The one who knows how stanky you are and still doesn't move. That's our friend. We have a good relationship. I call this party song. We know how to rejoice on this. Sing.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. 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 He calls me friend.
He calls us friends.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God.
How many of our friends are like this? They do all kinds of stuff for you. They never ask for anything of return.
God Almighty, Lord of glory. I am a friend of God. I'm afraid of God, he calls me friend. I am afraid of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. He calls me friend. He calls me friend.
Aren't you good? Isn't it good to know you God's friend?
Yeah.
And Jesus, he said it. He said, I don't call you servant. I call you friend. And because you're my friend, you get to come boldly to the throne of grace, where you may obtain mercy and find grace to help you when you're dealing with all this madness that's around you. That's why right now, Pastor Jonathan Tate's coming up to lead us in altar call. I'm going to ask the praise team just to take the front row. And while he leads us, he doesn't just pray for us. We get to enter in together. That's where the power really is, together. Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. Y'all can do better than that. I know it's hot. Praise the Lord. The Lord dealt with me last week on praise and worship. I was standing in the back of the church, and I was listening to the words that we were singing. And today I was looking at the words that we were singing, and I was internalizing that all that's true. Here running for Christ, a lot of the songs that we sing are actually words.
Yeah.
They're songs based out of words in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I think about my friend. You know, when mama leaves, when daddy leaves, when your best friends abandon you, we have a friend greater than anybody that can do everything for you and with you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, Elder Brother, Counselor, for being our friend, for first loving us. We didn't know who we were. We didn't know what to do. But we know that you love us. We still don't know what to do. We're still finding out who we are. We're still getting in our own way. Help us to realize our own uniqueness. We're like the snowflakes. We're all different. Even if we were identical twins, we're different because you made us that way. Because you love us. We're one of one in the universe. That means we don't have a price. We're priceless to you. We're the masterpiece that you made to show off to the rest of creation. Strictly because you love us. And that's present tense. Not, I used to love you, but we fell out. Not that I'm mad at you. Not that I'm surprised at what you do or how crazy you are. I love you despite of all that. Actively, you love us and you care about us. And you keep us. But Lord, as Pastor charged us last week, we need to be good soldiers of the cross. There's a lot of people in this world that need exposure to you. The best exposure is for us being physical, visual aids to the rest of the world to be the light that you called us to be. Help us to stop getting tripping over toothpicks and getting all broken up and stumbled up in our mess and to realize who we are in you. You love us first and foremost. You care about us. That's more than enough inspiration and motivation to get us out to tell somebody about what our elder brother did on that cross and how he rose from the grave. There are people all over the world that are hurting, that are suffering, that are struggling with abuse, neglect, homelessness, poverty. But the world is struggling because we won't come together as a collective to do what we were called to do. We won't do what we're designed to do as individuals. Help us to do so. Thank you for this worship service. Thank you for this collective that's here. Help us to be motivated after today and during today to go out to be your children, to be soldiers of the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to blow the dust off of one. Some of us grew up in church where we pulled out the hymn book and they say, turn the page. We're going to turn to a hymn. It's up here. You can stand to your feet because you're going to sit down for a while in a minute. And we're going to talk about how we feel, because anybody who is loved wants to know that they're loved. You don't think God wants to hear you say you love him? You don't want Jesus to think Jesus wants to hear you say you love him? And not just an emotional feel-good love. No, I'm going to do what you said to because of what you did. Because you first loved me. So we're going to blow the dust off this. Pay attention because it's got one of those bathroom ending. But we're going to get it done. Amen? whole world know you loved by Jesus. He said they'll know you mine if you have love one for another. All right. Amen. So nice to see everyone. This is so awesome, isn't it? That we are back home in the house of the Lord. Well, you know, Jonathan brought up this morning when he came up here for prayers just that we really, really need to pay attention to the words. You know, the praise and worship team got us all fired up. I know I'm excited to hear the word that Pastor's going to be bringing for us. And I was just thinking of some of the words of the songs this morning. The one we just got through singing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, and it brought up the stuff that he has in store for us, okay, and that he's sunshine on a dark path. And then we sang the song that I am a friend of God. Are you a friend of God? Is everyone in here, does everyone know for sure that you know you're a friend of God? All right. I mean, what a friend to have, right? Because when God is our friend, that means that we can go and talk to him anytime. He has made it known. And he's not just a regular friend, okay? He can do all kinds of things. He's powerful. He's everywhere all at once. And then we started out with the song, I Want to See It Again. And I just want to just tell you, this week I saw miracles. I saw a lady who actually literally had a heart transplant, okay? And there were problems. Kept getting these emails about, text messages about how they had to go back in and perform this surgery and that surgery. And then finally I just started saying, well, wait a minute. I'm a friend of God. And I know some other friends of God. And some of you got messages like Pastor O. And we got us a prayer chain going. And many of the people who are on the text message didn't know the Lord at all. But I declared that before the evening was over, that people all across the nation were going to be praying for Carol. And guess what happened? Carol had that last surgery, and I didn't get a text message from someone else the next day. I got a message from Carol who said that God had done all of the kinds of things that we've been saying he's able to do this morning. So just remember, this is a real God that we serve. Today, Pastor is wanting us to reflect on a message that he's going to deliver called Don't Worry, Jesus Got You. He's asked me to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers, that they are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. And we are blessed indeed. Did you just take in what we just read? No worries. God reminds us that he has control of everything. In other words, he's got this. So then, let us do just what God told us to do. Focus, focus, and more focus.
here and now. As Pastor O said yesterday, let's put on our Jesus glasses. This great moment in time, we are assembled here at Runner for Christ Ministries in the sanctuary. For those listening in, imagine that you are here with us. I believe this is the appointed time that we are being prepared for an epiphany. So in a minute, I'm going to go back to my seat. I want you to be so into this message that, like me, you are sitting on the edge of your seat. I want you to join me in great anticipation to hear the most important words you have ever heard up until this point. That's where we at, people. Those with ears, let them hear. When Jesus spoke these words, he was urging us to pay close attention. The word is serious business, and God has been speaking to Pastor O all week long. He's been bringing it up in other messages. Been talking to Pastor O all week long about what to tell us, and Pastor O has been listening. I can tell he can't wait to get up here in obedience to give it up. Pastor O, is that right? All right, then. Without anything further, let's welcome him as he comes to tell us what God told him to tell us. Repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Hey, man. Thank you, Dean and June Rogers. Appreciate you. And no, you cannot leave if you heard Jonathan preach this yesterday. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't leave if you heard Crystal's 20-minute announcement yesterday. Amen. Oh, Jesus, I can breathe. Lord have mercy. Amen. Whew. Wait a minute, what happened? Something happened? Why are you so quiet? Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we do praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that has gone before this moment here, and we just want you to accept our love and gratitude for giving us a mind to get up and come out to the house this morning. There's a lot of folks, Jesus, they scared to death to go to church, even if they is vaccinated. They're scared of this virus, but I thank you for the passage that Pastor Tate put up there from 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, that tells us that you have not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but one of love and power and a sound mind. So we thank you, Lord, that we've been able to use that this morning to make our way here. And we pray for those, Father, who are listening on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for all 129,000 of them in every country that they're in, and we ask that you continue to bless them along with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes I forget about the Blog Talk Radio folk, but God has blessed us. We're about 10 listens away from having been able to reach out and touch 130,000 people since we've been on Blog Talk Radio. I know out of the millions and billions of people in the world, that might seem like a really low number, and relative to the big numbers, it is. But because of who we are, amen, we are not the Potter's House. We're not Joel Osteen. We don't have 30, 40,000 members. But the few that God has given us, we've been able to do some awesome things. We have teachers here who have taught people all over the world. I want you to know that the folks over in London, they really love it. Okay, and one time when I was thinking about quitting Blog Talk Radio, I woke up that morning and had a message from a lady over in England. And she said, Pastor O, we appreciate what you're doing on Blog Talk Radio. Keep doing it. Jesus knew I needed to hear that, but I was ready to give it up. Because on the radio, you can't see who you're talking to. You don't know what kind of effect you're having. You find yourself like Isaiah, saying, Lord, to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our report? Okay? That's how Blog Talk Radio leaves you without being able to see people. But then God let me know that those are real people. And somehow, wherever there's an internet connection, they can get it. And it's amazing how what they will go through to get the word versus us. They will walk for a week to get to where the word is going to be preached and then stand there in blistering 110-degree heat waiting on one of us to come over there and preach the word to them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But we made it out this morning, so we just like them. It's about 110 degrees out there. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to change the way I think by your word. So I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for me. Amen. Amen. Today I want to talk to you just for a little bit about, don't worry, Jesus got you. Amen. Don't worry, Jesus got you. You know, that same thing is spoken, or that same word is spoken in Ephesians. In chapter 4 from the New Living Translation, somebody posted it on Facebook this morning. Of course, I jumped on it because I love that passage. It starts out with, do not worry. Amen? But it talks about what you should do instead. And we have a lot of things that we can be illegitimately worried about. And what I mean by illegitimately worrying is because we're not trusting, leaning, and relying on the Lord to do any, what's up, Danielle? To do anything on, or do anything about what we're currently going through, right? So that's illegitimate worry, because God has given us no reason at all to not trust him. So then that kind of worry about will the Lord or won't the Lord becomes illegitimate, and to us, it's sin. Because if the Lord tells us, do not worry, then where we worrying, we might as well what? Be lying. We might as well be cheating. We might as well be stealing. Why? Because we're sinning by worrying. Again, the Lord God has given us no reason, no cause at all from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. We cannot find any legitimate reason in there why we should worry. If we worried about the devil and all the power he got, and we read what he did to Job, and we're worrying that he's going to do it to us, the same faith that God gave Job, God gives us. All Job had to hang on to was what he knew about God. And so he practiced what's written. What's up, Robert? Happy birthday to you. Amen. He practiced what's written over in chapter 4 of Ephesians. He didn't worry about nothing. Instead, he prayed about everything. He told God, amen, what he needed, and he remembered God's character. And since Job had remembered that, all he wanted to do was have a little talk with Jesus, see if he could, he wanted to make it all right, amen. That's all he wanted to do. So God has given us plenty words to believe, amen. And when we talk about what's written over there in Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, especially 2, talks about changing the way we think. We do that with God's word. Amen? We read God's word. We know how we're thinking. If God's word is opposite of our thinking, then we shift our thinking over to God's thinking. We think God's thoughts. Amen? About any situation. I love it when Joshua was telling the children of Israel, because I picture us as being the children of Israel, we're on our way to the promised land, heaven being the promised land, right, the land of promise. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, coming back to get you, bring you where I am so you can be with me there always and forever, right? So that's our promised land. But when Joshua said to the children of Israel just before they would cross the Jordan River, he told them, when you see, now pay attention to this, when you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God, now what was in that Ark? The covenant of God, God's word that he had given them at Mount Sinai. It was in that Ark. He said, when you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God, you are to move out from your position and follow. Amen? In all our ways, we read the word of God, see what the word of God has to say, and then it becomes the direction. it becomes the pathway that our feet should follow. Amen? That's what Ephesians chapter 4 talks about. When it talks about Philippians 4, I mixed that up, Ephesians 4. The other one, Philippians 4, Ephesians talks about why God gave pastors who teach, or pastor teachers, to grow us up in Christ, to help out with that transformation process. And that is what keeps us still. That is what gives us that perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. That is what gives us the faith, the courage to sit in a bad situation like Paul and Silas in that Philippian jail, and rather than becoming depressed or stressed or overly anxious about anything, amen, perfect peace. When we should be upset, I'll never forget this, and I'm going to say it a million times before I leave this planet. Dr. Tony Evans has suffered one disaster, then another, then another, then another, then another, then another. Then when it started raining crazy and down there in Texas started snowing or something, the roof fell in, flooded out the church, okay? And so somebody's thinking, you should be almost crazy. Rebecca, they thought, you know, how are you still standing up here with all of this faith and you're just going through one thing after another? Are you faking it? Just so we can think you got faith? No, he said, I believe what I preach. Sooner or later, we have to get to the place where we believe what God said. And when the Lord says something to you, and he know your ears heard, and he know your heart received it, guess what? It's testing time. Amen? God already knows how you're going to respond, but you need to know how you're going to respond. Do you think Paul and Silas knew how they would respond in that Philippian jail until they got there? That's when the test was on. The test is on when you come to the Jordan River, and the Jordan River is seven, well, let's just say it's above flood stage. You're seeing houses float by. But God is telling you, if you want to get across it, you're going to have to step in that mess. And then I'll fix it. But you're going to have to step in it first. Amen. And this passage that Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he started out talking about priorities. He started talking about right priorities for a Christian. He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, when we know that's pretty much all we do. Amen. We don't want a bigger bank account for Jesus. We just want a bigger bank account. We don't want a bigger house for Jesus. We just want a bigger house. We don't want a bigger car for Jesus or a better car for, we just want a better car. It don't have nothing to do with Jesus. Amen? That means our priorities are wrong. And what that's going to lead to is anxiety. You're going to become anxious because you've made it up in your head how life should be and how you think your life should be. But then there's another reality. See, we cannot forget that the Lord said in Philippians 1:6, I'm working on you. So every single thing, big or little, that takes place in your life is on purpose. I'm not telling you that the Lord told you to do that thing that ended up in a crazy situation, but then I am telling you that sometimes the Lord will put you in a crazy situation. Not so he can know. Not so he can know. Stop saying to yourself, the Lord let this happen to me to see what I would do. Really, that makes him human and not God at all. If we say that the Lord knows everything, that he's omniscient, well, omniscient, okay, he knows everything, then he already knows how you're going to respond. But you don't. He knows right where your faith is, but you don't. We always say what I would do, but you don't know what you would do until you're in that situation. Amen? Well, if I was going through what Nicole's going through, this is what I would do. I would muster my faith and say in the name of Jesus, I read to you this nonsense. Amen. Then you get in that situation, and you say, Lord, I don't know how you let me end up in a situation like this. Brought me out here and let me go through all this. Amen. But we forget that the Lord is working on us for our good. How many things work together for our good? So he's working on us for our good. So whatever we go through, he will use that to help turn us into who we're going to be forever. And God needs you to be strong. The Lord needs you to be of good courage. The Lord needs you to not be afraid. Every time Jesus came up on his disciples and they were terrified, the first thing out of his mouth was, either it's I, it's me, or do not be afraid. Now, he says that to them in some real crazy situations. They're on a boat that he told them to get in. He's in the boat with them, and then a storm comes up. But Jesus has pulled up some pillows or made a pillow out of something and gone to sleep in the storm. The disciples are trying to be brave with their fake faith. They're trying to be brave. They're trying to say in the name of Jesus, storm, I rebuke you. But that storm is like, shut up. You can nothing around here. In fact, I'm going to wave up. Amen. And then the waves get bigger. Things get worse. Amen. Then when we've had enough of it, that's when we run to Jesus. Not to tell him we got faith, me, but we run to Jesus to tell him, I don't even know why I believe in you. I'm believing in you and ain't nothing going right. Seems like ever since I got with you, it's been going wrong. They woke Jesus up. And they told him two things. No, that wasn't it. Let me clear my throat. Let me clear my throat. Okay. That wasn't it. Amen. But they went to Jesus. You know what they said, Lolo? They say, Jesus, we just want you to know that we're going to die and everything ain't going to be all right. And we want you to know that, and we're concerned that you don't even care. Have you ever had that kind of situation where you felt like Jesus didn't even care what you're going through? Have you ever been having a crying fit and say, I don't even know why I'm crying. You ain't not going to change. You ain't going to do nothing. Oh, I'm the only one doing that? I'm like Cat Williams, and maybe I should not have told that. Amen. But we get mad when it seems like he ain't coming through, especially since we told him what time to be here, and we told him when the bill was due. Do you see the date on this, Jesus? Yeah, I see the date. What you want me to do? Something. What do you mean? Boy. One time, the devil came up to Jesus. Disciples right there, but they ain't seen. Devil came up to Jesus and said, you know what? You know what he said, Cat? I want to sift Cat like wheat. Her and all the rest of your little disciples, all of them, I want to sift them like wheat. But the disciples didn't hear that. Amen. And then Jesus came to his disciples and he smished the devil out. He said, Satan has desired to sift you people like wheat. And the disciples sitting there, they're like, well, what you tell him? Oh, I told him to go ahead, and I'm praying for you that your faith don't fail. I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you did not. The devil came to you and told you he wanted to crap me all the way out. And you said, I'm praying for you, brother. Hope your faith worked for you. That means they had what they needed. God has given us what? Oh, everything that we need to live godly lives. Oh, we got it when we got saved. Amen. He gave us everything we need. So when the devil goes to the Lord to sift us like wheat, guess what? I'm praying for you, Dr. Reed, that your faith fail not. Amen. Amen. The Lord tells them, look, get your priorities straight. Stop thinking just about the earth. Stop thinking about food, clothes, and water. Stop thinking about, I want this, I want that, I want to go here, I want to go there. It's nothing wrong with that stuff in and of itself. But when it becomes the main goal for living, I think Colossians tells us, don't deal with greedy people. Why? Don't be a greedy person. Why? Because a greedy person is an idolater. A greedy person is opposite of God. A greedy person only wants what God made without God. That's idolatry. That's worshiping the creation more than the creator. And God doesn't want us to do that. But what he said was, rather do this. Store up your treasures, amen, in heaven. He says, store up your treasure in heaven, amen, and not on earth. Why? Because everything that you store up on earth, you're going to lose. Amen? They can stuff all they want into the cremation box with you and try to burn it up, and y'all going to have it forever. They can put, I know a man who got buried in his El Dorado. Amen? If you dug it up now, it would just be a bunch of trash. But he didn't take none of that. When he opened up them eyes in hell, I bet you he didn't have none of that. Jesus told a story about a rich man who fared sumptuously and was royally dressed every day. Amen. Then that rich man died. Oh, but when he lifted up his eyes in hell, he didn't have no clothes on. Amen. When he lifted up his eyes in hell, he didn't even have no water to drink. He didn't have no more service either. It was all stripped away. So Jesus is saying, don't just concentrate on the stuff here, because in Luke 16, he told us what to do with the stuff that we do get here. He said, use the worldly resources or the wealth that I give you to make friends for yourselves. Now watch the focus. So that when it's all gone, that means you pass away, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwelling. Jesus talked about our eyes. How do we see things? Is our eye full of light? Do we see things through the prism of God's word? Or do we see things through the prism of the world's eyes? He tells us over in 1 John chapter 3 or chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, don't love the world or the things in the world. Love for the things in the world does not come from God, but from the world. And the world and all its desires and all of its pleasures are what? Passing away. And how many people make themselves anxious? How many people make themselves afraid? How many people live fearful lives because they don't have the things of the world? See, a lack of faith in God leads to anxiety. Amen. And bad priorities about life leads to anxiety because we want what we want and we want to do what we want to do and we want to go where we want to go. And most of us, we don't look for needs or we're way beyond needs. We're into wants and desires. I love the way Dr. Tony Evans talks about it. He say, wants are upgrades to needs. I want a car, but a specific kind of car. And then desires are upgrades to wants. I want a car, but it's got to be a Rolls Royce. I want a car, but it's got to be a 2021. Okay? So that's mostly where we live in wants and desires, but where we should live is where God put Adam in the first place. When Adam came here, he didn't even have to look close. That wasn't the problem until he found out he was naked. And then when he found out he was naked, he put on the wrong kind of clothes. Amen. God had to show him what kind of clothes to put on. He didn't know how to clothe himself. Amen. But God made everything that Adam could possibly need, Adam could possibly want, even desire. And guess what? All Adam was left to do was to seek God, to praise God. And so Jesus tells us, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't make that your only desire. But rather use the stuff that you get on earth so you can lay up treasures where? In heaven. He says over there in Luke chapter 16, amen, that if you cannot be faithful or trustworthy with somebody else's property, and everything we have comes from who? If we cannot be faithful or trustworthy with what comes from God, amen, then the Lord asked this question. Then who going to trust you with the true riches? So I said, Jesus, you know what he had? I said, Jesus, what are true riches? You know what Jesus told me? True riches are things you get to keep forever. Amen. So the riches that we have here, they're not true riches. Why? Because we don't get to keep it forever. We only have it. God loans it to us. God allows us to have it while we're here. And once we get saved, after we get saved, we use whatever we have in his service. But instead, we use these things to satisfy ourselves. Amen. We don't think about God when we're buying clothes. We don't think about the Lord when we're buying shoes. We don't think about the Lord when we're buying cars. Or we think about it after we get it and figure out we can't pay for it. Then now we're thinking about the Lord. Jesus, I need you to keep this car. Lord, I rebuke the repo man and his truck. Amen. Amen. So the Lord says to us, don't worry about food, clothes, and water. And then he comes with these analogies that just crack me up. Here lately, all I can do is go out in the backyard and observe nature. That is what you do now during the pandemic. You go out in the backyard and you become friends with little squirrels and you start to notice how many different varieties of birds. And Sheila, like, you need to go down there and live with Janice and y'all can just talk about the hawks and the squirrels all day long because she's been doing it too. Amen. 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 But you get to see, amen, God's creation. You get to see that God is taking care of them. And they are totally different. Now, granted, they're instinctual, right? They're not self-determining like we are. They're not self-aware like we are. Because I saw one squirrel, and I'm like, I know you ain't self-aware come out looking like that. Yeah. Amen? It's all the hair was tore off his body. I'm like, dude, you cannot be self-aware. If you were human, you would have put a hat on. You would have never came out the house with your hair looking like that. I don't know what happened to him, but he had hair from like here to his tail. All this was, I don't know what kind of fight he got into or what he got into a fight with. But they tore him up. Amen. But you know what? They come out every single day. The birds, they wake up. I have never seen a stressed out robin. Hawks, they just fly around. I love them. They just use whatever comes against them to make their life happen. Okay? But they know God's going to take care of them. They know it. And some of these little animals have figured out that I've been giving them some peanuts and stuff. Amen. And the birds. And they come to get it. They expect it. You can't hardly go walking in Council Park, right, Sheila? Because a little squirrel comes running up to you, and Sheila goes, "You ain't that person." Amen. Then the squirrel has to figure out, I ain't the one to feed you. But they get used to it. They don't wake up stressed out because the refrigerator is empty. Oh, wait a minute. They don't have one.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't wake up stressed out. The air ain't on. Okay? Because they don't have none. Right? But they wake up every day and they wait for the Lord to show them, and the Lord has taught them that is where your food is. And that is what they do until they go to bed. From morning, noon, and night, that's what they do. I have never woken up and went outside, even though Sheila might forget to water a plant sometime there on me. They be out there looking a little sad. They be looking sad. Real sad. But I've never walked to the front door and heard them say, "Pass out." And I'd be like, "What, plant?" And the plant say, "Now, you know your wife don't water us a lot, but you know about this stuff, man. Could you go back there and get the water and hook us up?" No. You know what plants will do? If they don't get water, they go dormant. They don't die. They go dormant. They store up whatever resources they have in their root system, and they stop making any kind of movement until more water comes, until more nutrients come. But they don't worry. I've never seen, now a flower will hang its head if you don't give it no water, but it's really saving itself. It's shutting down this wasted use of energy to store up the energy it has. Okay? But they don't act like us. They know instinctively that God's going to provide for them. And if God don't provide, they still don't complain. They know that even if I have to die, okay, the Lord can provide. Even if he don't, they still wake up singing. Even when they know there's no food, even when there's no way to make photosynthesis happen because the sun is not out and plants can't make food or chlorophyll, which gives them color. But they don't worry. They don't stress. But then Jesus turned to the human, and he said, now, if these birds, if these plants can just trust, lean, and rely on me, you are self-aware. You are intelligent. You do have, amen, personality. You can worship me. You can trust me. We often wonder, how did Paul and Silas get to the place in their faith that they knew? Because, like that song says, we remember all the good things you have done, and we believe that greater things are what? Still to come. Paul had been through so much in that first missionary journey, then had to have an apostolic council to protect the product that he, the work that he did in that first journey, and now he's on his second missionary journey, and it's going bad. He gets to Philippi, and everything's going bad. Everything's going down. I'm out here doing the will of God, don't hardly know which way to go. He tried to go to Mysia, but the Holy Spirit said, not there. He tried to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit said, not there. So you know what he did? He went home and went to sleep, and he had a dream. And he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over here, help us. And so Paul got in his head, that is where God wants us to go. And they went. God sent them there. And they went straight to jail. Got beat first, cast the devil out of a lie. They found Madam Cleo. Amen. And they cast the demon out of Madam Cleo. So what did that tell you, astrology people in here, or not in here, but somebody you know, who be all Virgo'd up, who be all Aries'd up, who be Pisces'd up, and posting all that nonsense on Facebook. Guess what? Demons do astrology.
Yeah.
Jesus don't need nothing to do with no astrology, and Jesus ain't never called you no Pisces or no fish head or no none of other thing. Amen. No, Jesus ain't called you none of that. Show it to me in the Bible where Jesus said you have an astrological sign. I think Colossians talked about the starry host and people worshiping the starry host. That's astrology, people. Okay? That's demon worship. So Paul and them cast the devil out of her and watch this. She couldn't tell the future no more. She had made a whole lot of money for her masters by telling people their futures or fortunes. So she was good at it. That means she had a super demon in her. Amen? Like Mary Magdalene. The Lord found her, cast 7 demons out. But it was those demons who were giving her the power to tell people their fortunes, their future. And once the demon was gone, she couldn't do that no more. Of course she got saved. But then Paul and them got arrested because they broke this man's fortune-telling machine. And they said that these people are coming over here advocating God and saying, telling us things that's not even lawful for us Romans to even hear. And so they were thrown in jail. They were beaten first. And then because of who they were and the crime that they had been told they committed, they fastened their feet in the stocks, put them in the dungeon, chained their wrists to the wall. And they sang praises to God at midnight. Amen? It's possible to trust the Lord that much. But let me tell you something. My pastor used to say it all the time, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., you only know God as well as you know his word. Amen? So when you find yourself in a Philippian jail situation, when you find yourself in a food, water, clothing situation where there is none of that happening, trust God. But here's the rub as I come to a close. Here's the big problem. He says, don't be like the pagans. See, before we were saved, like it says over there in Colossians 3 again, it says you used to. When you was a part of this world, you used to. But once you got saved, you're no longer a part of this world. You take your cues from God's word. So he says, do not be like the pagans. So when we're not trusting, when we're overly anxious, illegitimately anxious about something because we're not trusting God, and remember, God has not given us a reason to not trust him. Family and friends might be a reason to not trust them, but God never will. He says, don't be pagan-minded. Pagans don't know me. Pagans don't trust me. They don't lean on me. They don't rely on me. Don't be like them. Don't be like an unbeliever. Amen? But rather, understand this, that your Heavenly Father knows what things you have need of even before you ask him. I love how it says it in this instance, though. He knows full well. If you interpret that from the Greek, it will tell you that he knows full well everything you have need of. And remember, needs are food, clothes, and water. Everything else wants is an upgrade. Desires. It's the Father's good pleasure, though, to give us even what? The desires of our heart. So we don't have to chase after this stuff. We don't have to. Anything that causes you to leave God to get it is not from God. God is not going to tell you, you can have that, but you got to leave me to get it. If you have to leave God to get a man, if you got to leave God to get a woman, if you got to leave God to get anything or anybody, that's not from God. The Lord is not going to give you something that's going to take you further from him. He will only give you something that's going to bring you closer to him. So if you've got something going on in your life that's taking you from God, that's not from God. And God's trying to deliver you from that. Here's the close. He says, if you don't want to have to worry about any of these things, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And that's the problem. That means you got to crack that Bible open after you leave church. That means when Wednesday night comes, you're going to have to be in Bible class after you leave church. Amen? That means you're going to have to do some home Bible study. That means you're going to have to get to know God's word. The only way I have gotten to know God's word like I have is because I spend a lot of time with it. I don't have such a really good memory, so I have to read something a million times before I get it. And I don't care how many times I've been through the Bible reading class, I go through it every single time it restarts up. I don't graduate from reading God's word. I don't graduate from studying God's word. And I don't spend my whole day just thinking about my day. I spend my whole day thinking about what the Lord wants me to do today. He says, seek it. That means when you wake up in the morning, start looking for it. Act like it's your wallet with your money in it. And you don't know where you put it last night. Okay, act like it's your keys, and it's time to go to work. Seek it out. You know how much you will put into trying to find some money that you don't know where your wallet is? You will put all the, you will be late for work to try to find that money. Treat it like it's your phone, and you outside, and you realize you left it in the house. Amen? Seek it. Seek his kingdom. That means his authority, his kingdom rule. Amen. And his righteousness, his right way of acting, thinking, and doing. Get to the place where Jesus was. I always do those things that please my Father. Get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Whether we're at home with the Lord or whether we're here in this body, we make it our goal to do what? Please him. But you ain't going to find nothing if you don't seek it. Jesus said what? Ask. He said what? Ask, and it will be given. He said seek, and it will be found. He says knock, and the door will be open to you. But you have to seek God's kingdom move. Understand God's kingdom move. Be willing to bring yourself under God's kingdom move. And after you've done that, then seek the way God wants us to live on earth. What has the Lord told us in the Bible about living? And when we mess it all up, and you know we will, right? We will mess it all up. Then we 1 John 1:9. When you comment, when Isaiah is running around, Isaiah like, okay. When Isaiah is running around and he falls, does he just lay there on the ground? He gets right back up. And see, we got to get over that mess that I've sinned, and I want to show God how sorry I am. So we cry and we moan and we try to make God know how broken and contrite we are. No. Just ask God, know this, that God's word said this and you did that. Let God forgive you. Let God cleanse you. But agree with God. We've gotten to the place now where we don't agree with God no more. God said that's wrong, but we don't agree with that no more. We say it's right. If God has said it's wrong, is going to be wrong eternally. What we have to do, our way out, our salvation is what? 1 John 1:9. And how easy is that? Lord, I've been pulled over by the police because I left my brother's house and I pulled the hose out, burnt rubber right in front of the police, and they done pulled me over. This really happened. And they done pulled me over. Jesus, I need your help. Amen. And as the cop was, ain't nothing like it when the police pull you over. Ain't no other sound like a police cop sitting back there making humming and all kind of noise. Amen. And then them lights got your heart beating with a boom, 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 you know. And then he come up there and ask you, what were you thinking? I don't know. You know what I told him? He said, what were you doing? I said, being as crazy as possible. I don't know. Amen. But I confessed my sin to him. I did not even try to play like I was not guilty. And you know what he did? I ain't even did no ticket. He just told me, take this thing home. If you say you need to speak legal, take this thing. That was my hot rod. Long, it didn't have a speedometer in it, no blinkers, no brake lights. It's just four wheels and a fast motor. And Lincoln Park pulled me over. He said, you got so many violations, just go home. I don't want to see you back out here in this thing until you get everything you're supposed to have. So I went home. That's how I called you. Amen. I went home. So when we mess it all up, we confess our sin. And God is faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sin. Just like that. We don't have to do nothing. Jesus did. Amen. You don't even have to worry about sin. Why? Jesus did. He fixed that. But what God wants for us is to seek his kingdom, seek his way of living, right? And then all these things that make us anxious, he'll just give it to us. He'll do us just like he did Adam and Eve, so we don't have to chase it. Amen? And no matter how hard we have to work to get what we want, he'll give us the strength to do it. And he'll make us successful. He'll give us favor on our job. All we have to do is work like we're working for Christ on our job. And he'll take care of the rest. He'll bring promotion. He'll bring pay raises. Oh, I know. Y'all know I've been fired over 37 times. But Jesus got me on one job, 7 pay raises in 1 year. Raise your hand if you've ever had 7 pay raises in 1 year. And y'all know I wasn't the best worker. If I didn't like the job, Quinaya, I just walked out the door. See you later. and then get home and tell my father he was hating on me. Because I was still living with my daddy. I said, he was hating on me. I believe it was racism. He said, but ain't they black? I was like, yeah, who black people be racist? 51st, first, above all else, the kingdom of God. Remember, his kingdom rule over you. His kingdom authority over you. That means you do what he says. You recognize God's authority when you do what he says. Jesus said it like this. If you love me, you know what he said, Alex? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen? And he'll give you all of this. And stop worrying about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow is chomping at the bit to come at you. Don't you know tomorrow had to get permission from God today to come at you tomorrow? So Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Trust me, tomorrow already got a bunch of problems for you to solve. What you need to do is worry about today, because yesterday this was tomorrow. So what you need to do is worry about today, because guess what? Today got enough worries for you. And tomorrow got worries of its own. But it's not like Jesus did not tell us that in this life we're going to have what? Trials and. So we know what's coming tomorrow. And we know what's here today. But if we seek his kingdom, we seek his righteousness, all this stuff will be added to us. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have provided every single thing that we need to live these godly lives that you called us to live. We thank you, Father, that you are turning us into who we're going to be forever. You, Father, are using what we are today to help us to become what we'll be tomorrow. So we thank you, Father, for the faith that you give us today. And, Father, we know that faith is knowing what you said and acting on it, and we know nothing else is faith. Faith is knowing your word and what it says and the direction and guidance it gives us, and we follow that, and we're walking in faith. We like those folks over there in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Each one of them has this. Before this intro, before you even talk about what they did, by faith. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that we take this word that you've given us and apply it to every area of our lives so we can truly live, so we can truly walk by faith. And so that we don't have to worry about anything and know that you have us in everything, even when we don't understand the thing we are. In Jesus' name, Father, bless us to keep this faith, not just here in this building, but when we leave here and go and do what we have to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. There's some stuff I'm supposed to remember, like this. See you.
Make sure I turn this mic off so he don't get in any more trouble. We do have a few announcements. This Wednesday at 6 o'clock is a Bible class, Bible reading class with Deacon Charles Mackey as the teacher. Questions are available on the back table for the book of Esther, chapters 1 through 5. Also today, make sure you tune in at 4 o'clock, if you can, to Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, Back to the Family on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you pray for all those who are doing ministry work. Prayers for Deaconess Demetrius Cowan, Tyrone Hamilton, of course, our mothers, Mother Cheryl, Mother Irma, Mother Persia, Mother Marilyn. She was out with us yesterday, so she must have had too much fun because I made her favorite food yesterday morning. So, and all the mothers, Mother Louisa especially, who had a birthday this past week, if I'm not mistaken. And some of his greatest people that I really love was born in this month. Danielle, Alice, Robin, Mother Louisa, and anybody else, because I love all y'all. So if you had birthday in this month of August, happy birthday to you. Right. And for your prayers as well, again, remember the people of Haiti, the situation in Afghanistan. Pray for those who have the rule over us so that it may go well with us. Y'all know these folks crazy in Texas and in Florida and in Missouri and in Alabama and Tennessee, and there's a pattern. There's some folks who have just said some and done some really dumb decisions, and they're sticking by it because they're making money off of it, a lot of them. They're getting contributions from people to promote an agenda. I'm telling you, when you watch in the news, you can learn. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's going on. They're making money for their campaigns for more power. That's all they want. They don't care about human lives. Don't listen to them. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He will tell you. He told Israel, put blood over the door. Why? Because I'm going to pass over when I see the blood. So when it comes to wearing masks, think about it. Is it really that difficult? These kids do it. Pray for them as they're getting ready to go back to school. And these school boards, when these people show up at these meetings who are saying no, make sure we show up and say, oh, yes, like that man did the other day. He said, this is crazy. He showed up and he spoke truth to power. Truth to power. The word is true. Speak truth. He said, his pastor told him, there is nothing biblical that forbids you from wearing a mask. Nothing. Read the Bible. If you know what the word says, then you know it's true. Again, because God told him, put the blood over the doorpost and it'll pass over. Let's use wisdom, y'all, when we out here. Pray for one another. Pray for schools opening safely, sensibly, so that our kids don't lose out anymore on what they've already lost. And please, please, please pray for those that are in nations who haven't even had the opportunity to get a vaccine. We rich over here. We rich, literally. So they've given us the opportunity to get a booster. And there are other people that have not even gotten a first glimpse of a good vaccine yet. So let's pray and let's do the will of God. That's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for him to do his will. Amen. Or is just standing to your feet. Don't forget, the biggest thing you can do is pray, but the most important thing you call to do is declare his name. We are required to live like Jesus. And that requires faith. You have to faithfully walk out your soul's salvation. If you love him, lift your hands in praise. If you love him, stand with us today. If you love him, lift your voice and shout the glory of his name. If you love him, open up your mouth. If you love him, we will declare your name.
Good job.